On the tube, a man asked my name and then told another man, if a girl called Lizzie gets raped on her way home, don't think it was me.
Laura Bates is checking through the latest comments on her Twitter feed on her phone in a North London park.
This one's awful, really shocking one that came in last night. Walking to school with my youngest daughter to collect my eldest at home time. Man comes staggering out of pub and daughter nearly runs into him. Sexy baby, he shouts, arms open, hips gyrating, leering. My daughter is 4 years old.
Laura now spends her time gathering such stories, whether serious or minor. The project started just over a year ago as a result of her own experience on a London bus.
I was on the way home and I was on the phone to my mum on the bus and a guy started touching my leg. And I got up and because I was on the phone to my mum, I vocalised what was happening and I said, you know, this person is touching me on the bus. And it really hit me that no one on that bus did anything. They all looked away. And it gave me this really overwhelming feeling of, oh, perhaps it's my fault. You know, no one's saying anything. No one thinks this is a problem. So maybe I shouldn't have been out so late on my own, or maybe I'm wearing the wrong thing. You know, those kinds of thoughts that you have.
What struck Laura in particular was how socially acceptable it was. So she asked her friends if they'd ever experienced anything like it.
I really thought that maybe a couple of women would say, oh yeah, I have this one incident from a few years ago, or I once had this job where this happened. And what actually happened just completely took me by surprise. Every woman I spoke to had a story. And it wasn't just from a few years ago. It was literally on my way here to meet you, or yesterday. And it was something that was happening so regularly, but like me, these were stories that they hadn't told anyone because they were just keeping quiet about it because it was so normal. And I just wanted other people to experience that kind of revelation I'd had of seeing all these women's stories in one place to realise it really was still a big problem.
So Laura started a website to collect all the stories in one place. A few women wrote in with their experiences. About a month later, Laura posted about it on Twitter and suddenly 1,000 people responded. Last summer, the project was featured in a national newspaper.
And after that, the floodgates just really opened. All of the newspapers were writing about it and people started writing from around the world. And the number of stories coming in just grew and grew and grew until today when we get around 1,000 stories sometimes on a single day.
Laura quit her temporary job and focused on the project, making ends meet by selling articles to magazines. People began volunteering to help moderate comments on the website. Now Laura started actively raising money using a crowdfunding platform. She wants to make the website more user-friendly and to expand to other countries around the world. It's already available in 15 countries, including Germany, Russia and Brazil. In May this year, Laura and her team successfully campaigned for Facebook to remove violently misogynistic images and comments, in the same way that they already remove racist or homophobic abuse.
It felt like a real milestone because we knew that Facebook had never responded not only to these protests but to anything really before.
Yeah.
And for them not only to respond publicly but to actually commit to every single condition that we had asked for in our open letter was absolutely amazing. I really feel that we're at a point now where people are not putting up with these things in the way that they used to even a year or two ago.
And that's not all. The Everyday Sexism Project is attracting the attention of politicians. I take the London Underground to Westminster, where Green MP Caroline Lucas has just made a speech about sexism, in which she cited some of the evidence gathered by Laura.
I think the Everyday Sexism Project is absolutely fantastic because it demonstrates to women that they're not alone. And I think what Everyday Sexism shows is just this normalisation of sexism on a daily basis. And when you see it together, all drawn together, it is actually really shocking and it is a wake-up call. And I think we can use it to try to bring about change.
Outside the debating chamber, women start queuing up to tell me their stories of day-to-day sexism. I ask what impact the project has had on their lives.
Such an important project because it encourages women to have a voice and speak up and fight back instead of just putting up with the things that happen every day.
For me personally, I think the internet is giving women a voice. The media is not giving women a voice, but we can finally find an outlet for, you know, what my daughter's experiencing here in her everyday life or what I've experienced in my business life.
Giving women a space where they can speak openly is clearly key to this project. But Laura's ultimate goal is to make sexism as taboo and socially unacceptable as other forms of prejudice.
So I really think that what we need to see is a kind of cultural tipping point away from the normalisation of sexism. And all it would take would be for two or three people on that bus that I was on to have said, actually, that's not okay, what are you doing? And it influences the whole group.
It may take some time before travelling on a bus, or anywhere for that matter, is a completely comfortable experience for all women. But Laura Bates is certainly doing her bit to take a stand for change. Joanna Impey, DW, London.